Crumb.
Howard Days 2022, a chat with Matt John at the Pavilion. In this recording by the Cromcast on Saturday, June 11th, Josh and Luke are joined by Matt John of Rogues in the House podcast, Monolith Games, and Modiphius Entertainment. Hey everybody, it's Luke,
Josh,
and Matt John.
And we are in the final stretch of Howard Days, right guys?
This is the last full day, official day.
Soon to be brisket hour.
The brisket is upon us.
And if the brisket shows up, we're kind of in the brisket setup location.
This is the brisket zone, yeah.
We're gonna
over there, sort of.
We're gonna go hard in the paint here to get our recording here knocked out before the brisket and the barbecue sauce starts hitting the tables.
Starts to hit. Yeah.
But yeah, this is how did you word it, Matt? A team up that's been
this is a long crossover. Gestating crossover, many years in the making.
I believe so.
Yeah. So what better place to do it?
I hoped that we would meet down here someday. Yeah.
For sure, man.
I knew it would happen. You know.
It's crazy that the Canadian is the one that, gets here.
That's insane to me. You traveled many a weary mile.
I did. And poor Dean, Dean's a kind of a regular around here.
Is that right?
And he was so upset that he couldn't come this time.
Yeah, he was here last year, right?
I think he was, yeah.
Yeah, he and I, we didn't ever cross paths, but, well, maybe we did. I don't know.
It was a lot bigger crowd last year, right?
I think it was, and everybody was, of course, focused on Roy Thomas, but yeah, so we didn't make that connection, so it's cool that we're able to do it, man.
Yeah, and I'm from Rogues in the House, in case the listeners do not know. That's what makes it a crossover, I guess.
That is what makes it a crossover.
Yep.
And it's interesting because, as I often say, with my side hustle here, I've been the Conan crossover guy. I get phoned in to do the crossover books.
Uh-huh.
I did one for the Tower of the Elephant Board game, did a scenario.
That's right.
The Conan Exiles book, the probably what I'm most...
Sounds famous.
Cheesy. Yeah.
Do it. Just say it. Say it.
For the Conan Monolith source book. And I snuck in about 2,000 words on the Age of Conan book by Modiphius, which I think is coming out soon.
Cool.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, and so you've definitely been wearing the games hat, which is of course the theme for Howard Days this year. So you were both on the panel and then it had an impromptu presence on the What's New with REH kind of section. You were ready to go to bat with that, though.
Ready to go. I think we were, I don't know. The Conan, the rights holders, are really great guys to work with. And, I've been staying with them for the weekend, and there's just been a lot of, it's not been high stress. It's just we're going with the flow.
Yep.
And kind of talking about what we can talk about.
Right.
And there's just some really cool stuff coming. And I'm just trying not to say things I shouldn't.
No, I got you.
We'll not press you.
No. Yeah. No. I would love to talk about it. But yeah. There's been some good hints dropped during this weekend.
Yeah. And we've got some audio from the panels. So the hints are out there. People are going to be connecting dots, hopefully.
It's always worth it to keep in mind, though. This is... I'm not a salty seasoned Howard Days person by any stretch, but I'll watch a Conan television show when it actually happens.
Yeah.
Like it's been talked about since for years, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's the kind of thing. So I'm a believer in talk about what you can talk about.
Yeah.
No reason to talk about stuff that's lacking form.
Well, especially too when it's Fred brought that up during the panel. It's like there's all these things that occur, and there's sometimes some near misses. There's some like bullets dodged with certain things too.
Right.
Some projects crop up, and certain people intervene to be like, no, that is not a good idea.
Right.
But you just because of who owns what and you can't talk about the stuff.
Yep.
And it's insane how much work has to go in to get something like a movie made. And so, you know, I got some of the insider information about that, and it's frustrating. Like, you saw today that Tower of the Elephant game. You saw proof of concept of a thing that almost existed.
Right.
And then just didn't. And it sucks. But it's kind of better to have seen it than to not at all, I suppose.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool was that, right? Like, the ambiance, all those things because are we ever going to see a Tower of the Elephant TV show or a movie? Like, are we going to see that episode? I don't know.
Maybe.
But we saw that, and it was pretty rad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's weird to me that the Tower of the Elephant is the story that is gamified the most. A long time ago, there was an iPad and iPhone game called the Tower of the Elephant.
Yeah,
do you remember that? Do you remember that, Luke?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's kind of just a hack and slash. Like, you tap the screen, and the more you tap, the more Conan swings the sword. And, and then you have this video game that never got released, and you have a board game. You have a Tower of the Elephant. You mentioned the Tower of the Elephant scenario for the Modiphius, the monolith.
It was like a monolith scenario using assets from the Tower of the Elephant board game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, very gamified Tower of the Elephant.
It's the original dungeon crawl sort of, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
It is. It's the whole, and it starts in a bar, you know, starts in the tavern.
Yeah.
There's a giant spider. There's a tower.
Right.
It's got all the hits.
Yeah.
Wizard.
The wizard. Wizard at the center of it. So I don't know if any of that stuff's going to be released from what we saw in that game demo. But how cool is it just to see Yag Kosha?
Not only see him, but hear him.
Yeah.
Like, the voice actor, said, or somebody said, that the voice actor was from
Labyrinth.
Labyrinth, yeah. And I can't remember that character's name.
The dog who rides the dog.
Yeah, yeah. And he did such a great job. That is the inflection and the intonation is exactly how I read that. It's marvelous.
It's interesting.
It's a real shame.
I don't think I knew how that sounded in my head.
Yeah.
Until I actually listened to that, and it's just one of those rare moments where you're like, nailed it.
Yeah. I'm no voice actor, but I remember when we did that story for the show, reading that dialogue that he says. And that, I failed, but that is the kind of presentation that I was trying to go for.
Mm-hmm.
Spot on.
How long ago was it that you guys did those first string of Howard stories?
That was 2013 to 2014.
Yep.
Jesus. Yeah, it was a long time.
So we're coming up on a decade.
Yeah. So we've kind of been in touch here or there.
Yeah.
For about
Absolutely,
a decade.
Man.
So we connected because I think I joined the Conan gaming group that you moderate on Facebook.
Yeah.
And you, I don't know if I messaged you first or you messaged me first,
yeah,
but
I can't remember.
The question came up, like, would you guys want a copy of the board game?
Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely, right. Yes, please send it.
Yeah.
And it took quite a while to get it, but one day it was like long enough for me to forget that something was on the way.
Yeah.
And I think Mark Finn said something to the effect of, like, you know, did I order a refrigerator? Like, Ashley said, what did you buy?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's find out together. We've played it a handful of times. We haven't devoted a whole lot of time to it because we tend to play like Axis and Allies and things like that when we
I get you
board game
yeah.
We don't have a lot of other friends that join in and when we do we tend to play D&D.
Mm-hmm.
But the game itself was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Like it's I can see a lot of potential there and there it speaks for itself that it's been so long running. It's got legs.
And the last Kickstarter was, I mean, Fred Henry wrote about it. He was like, it kind of saved the company. And so we're just going to keep going, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He mentioned that it, like, Conan is where the company started.
Mm-hmm.
And it exploded. It was at the time where those Kickstarter games were popping off. And it was one of the biggest at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did this sort of failed attempt at a shared universe engine thing with Beyond the Monolith.
Okay.
And it was bad. Like, it put us in a bad spot. And so we basically threw a Hail Mary with the Conqueror thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone came back and they supported it. And now we're back on strong legs. And so, you know, kick ass, man.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's really cool that the game has a real strategic element to it. We were talking with a friend about it just yesterday, trying to describe how it works and the river and the spending of different amounts of gems to activate different powers is very cool. And you have to be, like, if you're playing as Conan, you can go balls out on a turn and spend all of your gems, and you can do a ton of damage, but then next turn you're doomed.
Yeah,
you're done.
Exactly. So you gotta, it's basically that whole amount of stamina that you have to juggle, and you get down to it, and when you're playing with others too, you'll do alright, you gotta spend a gem to do this so that I can do this.
Right.
The strategizing between heroes, so yeah, it's a great system. And even if you don't play it much, it's just cool. It's a cool thing to have. The miniatures are cool, the art's great.
Yeah. You know. So big thank you for sending that our way.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah.
That was kind of when I first got the gig, and I was like, I realized I could kind of just have some shit sent to people. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? These guys might dig it.
Was that like in 17, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably 16? 17.
Maybe.
Probably
16 or 17.
Yeah, because I think it hit Kickstarter 2015, and then I did the Modiphius book, and... Yeah,
it had been out a while. It had been out enough for me to, like, drool over the Board Game Geek page.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the half decade that we've been kind of talking, right?
Yeah.
So
it's crazy.
So we kind of talked about stuff going on here. You guys recently, of course, had your third interview with Brian Murphy.
Speaking of the rogues in the house.
Who won an award here. Is he the Emergent Scholar? I kind of already mixed that up. Was he was the tied for the Emergent Scholar.
That's right.
Award, whatever the official title is for that.
Yeah.
But what do you guys got in the pipeline as far as upcoming stuff?
Episodes?
Do you guys sort of track out? Like, I don't know what your process is.
We're not really talked about it. Like, you guys do seasons, which is... a rad way to set it up. We definitely just kind of shoot from the hip, and and a lot of it, we've been doing a lot more interviews lately where, because rogues in the house, to me, I want to take all the rogues and put them in the house, whether they are you know, regulars or, you know, regular guests or full-time rogues. So I've been trying to do a lot of that. I want to do a Willow episode.
Yeah.
Which is just, come on, guys. We got to do it.
Yeah. That new trailer looked really good.
It did. It looked so good. So we're doing that. I'm going to have Joel, who you met on the panels from Funcom.
Mm-hmm.
They got some cool Conan Exiles things coming up. So I've already locked in. We're going to have him come on the show. So yeah, man. We got some good stuff.
Cool.
Awesome.
And, back to Brian Murphy, like, well-deserved.
Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely.
I don't think he knew he won.
I saw on the Whetstone Discord server this morning that, he was like, oh, yeah, thanks for the heads up. I wish I could have been there. Because, he had said that he just wasn't going to be able to make it this year.
Yeah, he's from, New England.
I think he's definitely a New Englander. It's a trek, for sure.
And he's a great man. He's got an awesome speaking voice.
Yeah.
Like his, it's interesting.
Something fell off your pod.
It's interesting when you have podcasts, because it's like almost when you're putting one together, you have to make sure that your voices are different enough.
Yeah.
You have two people that are too similar, it'd be quite confusing, wouldn't it?
It would be.
Yeah. Yep.
Like you three, your trio. You know, it's all different.
It is kind of funny though how at least with us, we do definitely have three different speaking voices, which I think it makes it easier. We were talking about this with somebody else earlier today. Like when we're editing our episodes, because we kind of all take a round robin episode to episode, and Josh's ticks and my ticks different. John is the smoothest with the clean, outright delivery.
Yeah.
And Josh and I are the ones that need the heavier edits.
Mm-hmm.
But I can pick out Josh's ums and my pregnant pauses and these portions of what I'm doing right now.
Just these
kind of delays.
But you can look at it on
the... Yeah, you can see it on Audacity. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It just sort of stands out like a thumb.
That's awesome. So you guys met playing Conan Exiles.
Yeah.
Right? Back in the early days?
Yeah. And so that's interesting, too, because I told Joel I was talking with, I was like, you got to come on and do this, because the genesis of our podcast was essentially Conan Exiles.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. I'll have to get... Alex, you need to come back for that one.
Yeah, do it, definitely. There, yeah, get the whole old crew back together.
Nice.
Yep. And I remember talking to you early on when you were starting, like, I don't know, offering whatever whatever advice whatever my advice is worth. But you guys have certainly, I think, in the last year or so, found your voice, found your niche in terms of the interviews, and man, it's a great thing for Sword and Sorcery fans to tune into.
I appreciate you saying so. And I think Dean's just, like, I don't want to say he's a workhorse, he's just a champion. Like, he just gets things done too, and so he graciously pretty much edits all of it. And, you know, he's an interesting, I was thinking the other day that we have this interesting generational thing, right?
Yeah.
Dean is much older.
Mm-hmm.
I'm older than Logan, and so is Alex. And so it's interesting to have these, because we talk a lot of nostalgia, right?
Yeah.
And so you see how it differs decade by decade. So
right.
It's cool.
Whereas Luke and I are exactly the same age.
You guys are clearly good buddies who know each other.
Yeah.
We've known each other. Luke and I have known each other since
2004.
Yeah.
And we met John in like 2008.
Eight maybe, or nine, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've been friends for a good long time.
Yeah.
And in fact, the thing that kind of spurred our podcast on was we wanted to do something creative.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to have something that could be like a thing that we all made together.
Yeah.
And so we're like, let's make a movie. And what we quickly realized is that none of us knew how to make a movie. But there is a jump drive, a USB jump drive, with some test footage that me and John shot out at a park, and then we did in a building on campus at the University of Kentucky. And that's as far as it ever went. And then we're like, maybe what if we do a podcast? And that seemed way more
doable. Yeah, and you were like, yeah, this is way easier, man. It's way easier.
Way doable.
Filmmaking's I went to film school right after high school. I did a 2-year degree, and I quickly realized that I didn't really want to do it, not because it just wasn't a lifestyle that I wanted to do. But it's ultimately been worth it. In some ways, I ended up being able to keep my teaching status because I had a filmmaking background, so I could teach a tech ed course at one point.
Oh, okay.
So it kept me going, but I also met some good friends along the way, like my buddy Jason Eisner. He went, do you remember them film Grindhouse?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So do you remember there was a trailer contest that Robert Rodriguez put out?
Yeah, that's where Hatchet or Machete comes from.
Right? Yeah, Machete. And so they had all those trailers, but there was one, and I don't know if it played in America or not, but Hobo with a Shotgun.
I've seen the movie.
Yeah.
So that was the fan-made thing that he did. And so, yeah, then he went and he made the full version of it.
It's bananas. Yeah. That movie is bananas.
Yeah, and I talk to that guy every day. We're messaging back and forth because he's a big Masters of the Universe guy collecting all the vintage shit.
So right, right.
We're always sending pictures of new finds and stuff. And, so ultimately, you take these paths. They don't necessarily bring you to where you want to go, but it was worth going there.
So question about that. Do you still have any of the Masters of the Universe stuff that you had when you were a kid?
Mm-mm. Sadly, no. Yeah. I mean, I've reacquired some of it, but yeah.
I was just wondering. My mom gave all of my stuff. I had Snake Mountain. I had Castle Grayskull. I had Battle Bones that you put all your figures in.
Just and, link them in there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I had. I never had an original He-Man. I had Thunder Punch He-Man, and I had some other variant.
I only had Battle Armor He-Man, the one where you hit the chest and it spins and. So
yeah, okay, so that is called, Battle Armor. So I had Battle Armor, and I had Thunder Punch was, you put the round caps in the back,
and I had Thunder Punch
He-Man and Thunder Punch Skeletor.
Uh-huh.
But I had other originals.
Yeah.
And I had I have no idea how much that would have sold for. I played with those toys hard.
Yeah, yeah.
So no idea what it'd be worth now.
It was so big that there was so much of it.
Right.
It's valuable if you got it on card on the package.
No,
it's really,
these were.
But if they're in good shape and you have the accessories, hell yeah, man, you can get $50-$100 depending on which ones, right?
Yeah.
Some of them are like Scare Glows, like a $500 action figure.
It's bananas. It's crazy. I never had Scare Glows.
It is crazy.
Yeah. Did you ever get Masters of the Universe toys?
I did. I think I said this at one point when I offered a salty meme about Sword and Sorcery and He-Man to Matt on the Whetstone Discord.
Yeah, that's funny.
I totally loved He-Man, and one of my earliest memories was I had this blue shield and a sword from like a I don't know. It was either my fifth or sixth birthday.
It's one of my
earliest memories of being in Western Arkansas. There was a dirt pile. My cousin Jacob, who's a couple years older than me, had my sword for my birthday, and I had the shield, and I was taking the strikes of the sword on the shield. That's the He-Man material that I remember the most. I did have some of the various figures too. I never had any of the playsets or the vehicles or like the Snake Mountain, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I had more of the G.I. Joe stuff that kind of fit that bill.
G.I. Joe was awesome too. But Snake Mountain was the one I actually had, and you had the microphone and you'd speak into it and it
distorted your voice.
Yeah.
And the slime pit, like the pit.
I reacquired a slime pit. I had to get one.
Yeah.
I paid like $100 on eBay.
Did you?
But I brought it home, and like my kid thought it was so cool, right? Because you slime the guys, and then they turn into zombies.
They come up. Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
I actually started writing a sword and sorcery tale with the express purpose of shoehorning in a slime pit.
No, dude.
And I haven't finished it, but we'll get there.
My very first attempt at writing like a prose fantasy bit.
Yeah.
I started it in a tavern.
Yeah.
On a dark and stormy night.
Yeah.
Just for shits and giggles, it's gonna start in a tavern. I don't care if that's a rule.
A lot of editors are like, if you start in a tavern, it's going in the junk pile.
Nope, that's I'm gonna do this just because it makes sense.
Well, I've read some things both of you guys have posted, and it's good stuff, man.
Like, thanks.
We got a lot of talent circulating in that Whetstone Discord.
There is, dude. Yeah. There's a lot of good writers. So you guys have your anthology. I'm not going to ask you to give a date for when it's going to come out, because I know that's a...
It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress, but that's coming out, right? You guys are going to try to use that to raise some funds, right?
Yeah, and it's not actually that arduous, because we were really hat in hand asking people for reprints, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because this was honestly before any of this new edge sword and sorcery stuff was talked about.
Right.
We were like, we want to put a sampler out of, established writers, so that in one place, people could pick up a thing and then just read stories, get a good sample of it. Mm-hmm. Even to just be like, if you don't know what sword and sorcery is, or if you want to know what's happening with newer age sword and sorcery.
You've been away for a while and you want to come back into it.
Yeah. Try it out. Because in a lot of them are reprints that are like solid stories.
Right.
And some of these collections you may not be able to get. So you can get some Scott Oden, some Howard Jones, some John Hawking, and all these stalwarts. We're getting it. I guess what I was saying is it's going to be easy to edit because those stories are already edited.
Right.
We just need to go in, make sure the formatting's tight, and then check for typos, and we already have a cover. That's all done. So, we just need to get off our asses and put it out.
It's work, man. You're a teacher.
Yeah.
You're a game developer, designer.
Yeah. The side hustles, you got to do, if you've got a gig that's paying you, you got to do that first.
Right.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
And then you do what you can do elsewhere. On the side.
Yeah. And I think that's why we have kept the Chromecast completely free. Like, it's a hobby. It's not, there's no financial obligation.
Yep. Exactly.
And if we decide we need to take a few months sabbatical because shit's getting too busy, we can just do it.
Yeah, exactly. And would you guys agree with this statement that I think, with you guys and Rogues in the House, Whetstone Discord, Whetstone Magazine, all these other cats, I feel like we have actually gotten all of these folks gathered in one place, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I wanted. It's not my quest to do it, but that's what I wanted to see ultimately was sword and sorcery is a little smaller, a little niche, so we got to at least get to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we're getting there, if not there.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's building a new foundation for it, I think.
Yeah,
100%.
And with that, it looks like there's people have gone through line for brisket.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope we didn't time it out.
No, we gotta go. We gotta go check this. This Canadian. I don't live in brisket country.
Otherwise, we're gonna have to DQ something different. So
I don't want to DQ.
All right.
We gotta get brisket. Matt, John, thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. And honestly, long time coming. Here we are.
Yeah, let's do it again,
dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.